Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Minister Tuggle. Good afternoon. You are listening to The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. We just pray that you will hear something on today that will just lift your spirit and bless your soul in the name of Jesus. And now, without further ado, Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. Minister Tuggle?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. We praise God for being alive just one more day in Jesus' name. Amen. We bless the name of God on today because this is, we're getting close to the end of another year. The year 2023 is about to come to a close, and we're about to enter into 2024. I praise God for bringing us over into the end of 2023, because there were a lot of people that have not made it to the end of 2023. And I praise God for being one of the ones that are still yet in the land of the living. I praise God for each and every one of you, each and every one of our listeners. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to my pastor and my First Lady, Pastor Tuggle, Pastor William Tuggle, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle. And I also want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. Apostle Cook, God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. We thank God today for the topic today that we have. And it's kind of a Christmas topic, I guess, or a holiday topic, but It is a topic that is very, very powerful and very, very needed. The title of today's topic is, I Am God. Jesus is his name. We as people of God and people alike or people that are not, know that God is in some people's minds. Some people do not believe that there is a God. Some people believe that there is a God and his name is this or that or this or that. And some people believe that Jesus is God himself. And by what the scriptures have showed us, In the Word of God, it does declare that Jesus is God. Now, the one thing that the Lord showed me in studying the Word of God is that a lot of people are not offended by saying God, but some people do get offended when you say Jesus. But how is it that we don't get offended by the name God? God really, God, the word God, is not a name. You might say, well, what? What do you mean God is not a name? Jesus is God's name. Now, this is what the Lord showed me, and this is the reason why, because you can make anything out of a God. You can. You can make your car out of a God. You can make your house out of a God. You can make it, it doesn't matter. You can make your own children or your own self out of a God. But behind that individual or that thing, it has a name. It has a name. And when we look at the word God and we see through the word of God that God always professed himself as one. There was not two, nor three, nor four individuals, nor four different personalities, or three different personalities, two different personalities. It was always one. He never, and we have a little bit of a fight in the church world because some people believe that there is a Trinity, and nowhere in the Bible will you be able to find the Trinity. I'm sorry. I've looked through Genesis to Revelation. God never referred himself as three. The Bible does declare that he shall not give his glory unto another, which means the praise and the adoration that we give God, he will not give it unto another, which means he is a jealous God. He doesn't like when we as people of God or people in general give his praise to other people or other things. Amen. So we're going to see, we're going to look in the word of God and see who God is. And then we're going to see the I ams of God, who he is to us, who he is to our life, what he is, how he does. Amen. So I want to start with Matthew chapter 16. I want to start at Matthew chapter 16, verses 14 through 17. And it reads, Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse number 14, it reads, "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And verse 16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. As we see this verse, Jesus was asking the question, who am I? Who am I? Basically, who am I to you? Who am I? Who am I to people? Who am I to you? And they gave an answer, and some say that they gave the answer that of some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah. Some say that you are a prophet. Some say that you do this and you're that. But and Jesus asked the question again, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered the question, because the first time he answered, the first time Jesus asked the question, he didn't get the answer that he was looking for. He already knew that the answer that they were going to give, but he did not get the answer because they all gave a, a mindset answer, a natural answer, like you're this person, you're that person. But when Peter answered the question, he answered it on a spiritual side. He didn't answer it on a carnal side or a natural side. He answered Jesus' question on the spiritual side, and he answered this question with the answer of, hey, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus then began to tell him, look, your ancestors or whoever did not reveal this unto you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. Your parents didn't reveal this unto you. Your mama and your daddy didn't reveal this unto you. It was my spirit that revealed this unto you. You know who I am because of my spirit. My spirit gave you the answer. And so when we look in the Word of God, we have to understand who Jesus is. And we have to understand the reason why Jesus came. Jesus was born in a manger. And this is why we celebrate this Christmas season. Amen. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. And in 33 and a half years, Jesus lived. He not only, was born in a manger in Bethlehem, but he grew up. And as a child, he said, he began to tell his parents, I have to be about my Father's business. And he was about his Father. When he first came into the world, he was about his Father's business. He was about the business on the spiritual side. Man needed a way out of sin. So when he came, see, the Jews and the people of that time were looking for a great ruler. They were looking for somebody to free them out of bondage, out of the bondage that they were in. But Jesus, when Jesus came onto the scene, see, God wrapped himself, God saw the need of his people. God saw the need of mankind. Mankind was tainted with sin. And God said, well, I'm going to come myself. I'm going to come myself, and I'm going to free them spiritually. I'm going to give them spiritual life, because the Bible says you prosper as your soul prospers. But they were looking for a natural freedom out of the bondage that they were in. But they got not only a natural freedom, but they got a spiritual freedom as well, because Jesus came that we might be free from the sin that mankind, which was Adam put us in. Because sin separates us from God. We've talked about this before. And so when we look at this, Jesus was asking the question, who am I? Who am I to you? Christ, Son of the living God. He's answering the question. Now, let's go to John chapter 8. I want to go to John chapter 8 real quick because, and I want you to see this. The Lord is taking us here because he wants us to see something in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 56 through 58. Amen. Now I want you to see this, and I want you to stay focused on verse 58, okay? And this is the words of Jesus in verse 56. John chapter 8, verse 58 and 50, or John chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Amen. Starting at verse 58, and it reads, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. He made it plain. This is who I am. I am. I was before, I'm now, and I am in the future. This is who I am. He was talking about, see, like I said before, God wrapped himself in flesh so that he might take on the sins of the world at the cross of Calvary. And yes, you might say, well, Brother Adam, how in the world can Jesus be on the earth but yet be in heaven? Because, and I'm saying it just like that, because God is all powerful. And if you don't believe that God is Jesus and they're one, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. The Bible in the book of Ephesians says there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He was yet in heaven, but yet on earth, in the flesh. And so, as we look, I want to take you to First Timothy, just to give you an outline on what I'm talking about. Let's go to First Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. I just want to give you an outline on what the Lord is trying to show us today about him being who he is. Amen. Amen. And here we are. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, which was Jesus, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This is showing us that he was yet God in heaven, but yet God on earth at the same time. God is omnipresent. God can be anywhere at any time. He can be, see, God was yet in heaven, but yet on the earth. He wrapped himself in flesh to come and die for the sins of mankind. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Because the Lord is showing us something. Now, watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. And it reads, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That ransom was the sacrifice. That ransom was him going to the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, the wage had to be paid. A wage had to be paid for sin. So he made himself a body. Amen. He made himself a body, and he put his spirit in that body. And he put that body in the womb of a virgin. Come on now. And he was born, but his sole purpose was to come and die for the sins of mankind. Now, let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, because the Lord wants to show us something there. Amen. I just want to give a breakdown on what the Lord is trying to show us here. In 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse number 7, it reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." Verse number 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." Amen. We see right here that Jesus and God are the same person. There is no Trinity. There is no three different beings. There is no God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's just one. It's just one. And I'm not here to knock nor bash anybody on what they believe in, but when you say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that's the Trinity. You're saying three different gods. God the Father, okay, Father's not a name, first of all. God the Father, God the Son, Son is not a name. God the Holy Ghost is not a name. We focus on more of praising the creation than the Creator. A lot of people do that. A lot of people. And I'm not just talking about in the world. I'm not just talking about in the church world. I'm talking about both. We praise more of the creation. We bow before the creation more than the Creator in our actions. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Adam? What I mean by that is that sometimes we put more time into the things of what we got going on than the things of God. We put God on the back burner so that we can get our stuff done. Well, I got to get to work. I got to go to work. And, you know, I don't have time to, you know, read my Bible and, you know, wait a minute, you got time to go to work. You got time to get up and watch TV. Turn the TV off. Get in the Word of God. Fast. Pray. Because the Bible lets us know that if we seek Him, we'll get the desires of our heart. He knows what we have need of, but we got to just seek Him. The Bible says that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, now watch this. I got one more scripture on showing us who God is, okay? Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Yeah, let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6. Amen. And I'm going to throw verse 4 in there. We're going to start at verse number 4. Instead of starting at verse number 5. We're going to start at verse number 4. And it reads, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into in one hope of your calling." Verse number 5 says, "One Lord, one faith, and one baptism." Verse number 6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." This is showing us that He is who He says He is. There is one God, This is why God said, I will not give my glory unto another. He's showing us in his word who he is. He's proven the fact that there is only one God, one true and living God. Yes, you can make things out of God. Yes, you can, you know, you can take a car and make it out of a God, but it ain't going to help you in that time of need the way the God of our salvation would help you. There's only one true and living God, and he reigns over all. Amen. Now, as we saw that, as we read in the book of John chapter 8, and we read in verse 58 where Jesus said, where Abraham was, I am, right? Now watch this. God in the beginning and being the I am. This is where Jesus was talking about when he was talking about before Abraham was, I am. Watch this. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1. Amen. Genesis 1 and 1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. Well, I'm going to leave verse 2 alone. But verse number 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there was no, what this verse is letting us know is that before God, there was nothing before him. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God, right? We see that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's go over. Now, we see that as the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's go over into the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 1. This is God in creation. This is God in creation. Amen. To find out why he's saying, I am God. And Jesus is his name. Now watch. Let's go to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, starting at verse number 1. The word of God repeated itself. He gave, any time you see in the word of God where God says something twice, you best believe that he was very, very serious about it. Amen. Now, we saw in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, watch this. John chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, it reads, in the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, the Word is God. Amen? This is him. Now, let's finish this. Let's finish reading it. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, the word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the Word was with him. He was his Word. He was there in the beginning. Amen. He is the beginning. Amen. Now watch this. We saw in Genesis 1 and 1, it said God created the heaven and the earth. Now watch. Verse number 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, verse number 3 goes into Genesis 1 and 1 as well. It's showing us who the power of God is, showing God creator, God our creator. God, our Creator. At the beginning of the show, I said that God was going to show us why He is God, His attributes, His power. Amen. Why He came on the scene. Amen. Amen. So as we look in verse number four, as we see in verse number four here, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. This is showing us that the life was in Him. Life was in Him. He was that life. Amen. And being, He's showing us that He was whatever we need Him, whatever, when he created something, which would it be human being, the grass, whatever we needed Him to be, He was. He was. Whatever we needed Him. And it's not just us as mankind. He's talking about the birds or the birds of the air. Whatever they need Him to be, He is. Amen. All creation, all that He created, He will be that what we need Him to be. This is why He came. He came to fulfill every need that we have. Every spiritual need, every natural need that we have. Amen. He came to fulfill it. Now, I want to take you to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to say, man, Brother Adam, you kind of flipping through the Bible there, ain't you? Yep, sure am. Because I love the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God, and I love teaching the Word of God. But I really like studying the Word of God for myself. I do. I love it. Because it goes into, when I read the Word of God, and this is for myself, it allows me to look at what God is saying, and the Bible matches up. If you really, really read in depth the Word of God, and this is a side note, if you really, really read in depth the Word of God, you get in deep into it, the history of the world is also, if we look at some of the history of what's going on, what went on in the world and what's going on in the world, it matches up. For example, the Bible says there should be wars and rumors of wars. There's been wars throughout all the history of mankind. This is just an example of that the Lord has given us. The Word of God matches up because He created this world. His Word matches up because He created us. His Word matches up because He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's God Almighty. I am God. I'm better than all them other gods that man tries to bring into people's lives and bring into societies and all that stuff. I'm better than all of that. That's what God is saying to us. But let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 13. And it reads, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, And they shall say to me, what is his name? See, this is why I said earlier, people don't have a problem you saying God, but they have a problem when you add a name to that God. When you add Jesus to that name, some people get offended. They want to know the name. Come on. It says, the God of your fathers has sent me. They want to know which one, because back then, Egypt had gods. They want to know a specific name. Who is it? We need to know. Because, Brother Moses, wait a minute. Hold on. We need to know who you talking about. Because you could be coming. And that's why they asked. Moses told God, when they asked me the name, what name, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? That's why Moses asked the question unto God. When they ask me your name, what should I say? Because they're going to ask. They're going to be curious. Because there's so many people that's coming in the name of every other God. I watched a video this morning on Facebook and how some of these celebrities, they sell their souls for fame and fortune, and they bowing before God for fame and for fortune, and they doing rituals and all this stuff, ungodly rituals in what they call their God. Amen? They doing satanic rituals and stuff. They do this. This is stuff that is going on now. And they don't have a problem. Some people do not have a problem with you saying the name God, but when you say Jesus, they got a problem. You know why? Because that spirit that is on the inside of that individual that does not have God in the true and living God in their life, and they're serving other God, they're serving the God over here, and they're serving a God over there, they get offended. The spirit is upset. The spirit, the ungodly spirit that is on the inside of them gets upset. Just like when the demons were in this man, and the spirits and those spirits spoke out when they saw Jesus coming, and they said, "Can we just be cast into the swamp?" Why? They get offended. They get messed up. They do not like the power of God, of the true and living God, which is Jesus. That's why when you hear people say, when you hear people get, or you see people getting upset by the name of Jesus, it is not them. It is the spirit that is on the inside of, it is the ungodly spirit that is on the inside of them that is upset. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. Amen? Let's continue reading. In verse 14 says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Verse 15 says, and God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is it right here. Amen. Now, I want to look at this. I want you to look at this. Jesus is the I am. He is God. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7. Amen. He already told Moses who he is. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 7, starting at reading verse 14. And it reads, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this was a prophecy given about the birth of Jesus. This was the prophecy in the Old Testament. This is way before Jesus came onto the scene. But this was the prophecy that said, I'm coming. I'm coming to free you. God gave this prophecy. The Lord spoke through the vessel and said, hey, basically, and I'm paraphrasing y'all, I'm coming. You've been asking, now I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming to free you. I'm coming to free you. And I'm not coming in the way that you want me to, because they were looking for a great ruler. And they wasn't looking for the spiritual side of it. They were looking for the natural freedom. Amen. But he came low. And he came to free them spiritually. Now, let's go over to Matthew 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Just to get the outline of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse, starting at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There you go. This right here, from the prophecy that happened in Isaiah, this was what the prophecy that was fulfilled, that was being fulfilled in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Amen. It came all the way up to Matthew 1, verses 20 through 23. And in verse 22 and 23, it talks about it. In verses 22 and 23, it was talking about the prophecy that was given in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. They asked Moses what the name was back then. And now He's showing them. He's showing us what the name of God is. He's showing us what the name of God is, who he is, who God is. What is God's name? His name is Jesus. Now, watch this. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Let's go back to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1, and let's go to verse 14. And it reads, "And the Word was made flesh." Ha, thank you, Jesus. "And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There it is. Jesus is the I Am. He is God. Now, in John chapter 1, in John chapter 1 as well, and we read verses 4 and 5, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? He showed it because in verse number 4 in John chapter 1, verse number 4 and 5, it talks about him being the light, and it talks about him being the light that shineth in darkness. Amen. What is in darkness? The world. He was the light. Amen. Now, John chapter 8, verse number 12. We can go there real quick. John chapter 8, verse number 12. It shows us that. Now, you might say, well, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. Oh, yeah. He's the light of the world. He even said it. He said it. When he said that he was a light in darkness, he was talking about this. John chapter 8, verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We see it right here. Right here we see it. The light of life. He wants to give us life. This is why he came. But he came to give us spiritual life so that we might have right to the tree of life, so that we, before we go into eternity, we have to live down here on earth. And we can have an abundant life down here while waiting for him to come. But we got to get the spiritual together first. That's why the Bible lets us know that you prosper as your soul prosper. You can prosper. You can have prosperity all you want to, but if your soul is not right, there's something wrong. Amen? There's something wrong. Amen. 1 John chapter, let's go to 1 John. Oh, wait a minute. No, I just did that. First, let's go to St. John, St. John 14. St. John 14. St. John 14. Amen. St. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Now, we read in St. John chapter 8 that he is the light of life, right? In verse number 12. Now, let's look at John 14 and 6. And it reads, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't get to the Father except through going through the name. Because the Father, Jesus, can't do it. Now watch this. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I am the way that you, in John chapter 14, verse 6, if we just read it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, now watch this. John chapter 10, verse 10, it reads, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Amen. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. There it is. He is life. He is life. He's life. Now, let's go over here to the next verse. In verse, let's stay in John chapter 10. Now, Jesus, being who he is, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all of this, all that. But yet, he's a good leader. He's a leader. What's another word for a leader? A shepherd. Shepherds lead the sheep. He's a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd that my people want for nothing. He said it. How do we know this? John chapter 10, verse number 11. Verse number 11, and then we're going to read verse 14 and 15. And then verses 25 through 28. Okay? John chapter 10, verse 11 first. It reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Uh-oh. Didn't we say earlier that Jesus came that we might have a life? He said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, we go over to John 3:16 and it reads, and we have read John 3:16. Everybody's read John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his life. A life for a life. This is what John chapter 10, verse 11 is talking about. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Amen. Gives his life for the sheep. Now, let's drop down to verse 14. Now, watch this. I am the good shepherd. He keeps saying this. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Which means he knows his sheep and they know him. If you are a sheep, you know God. If you've been delivered, you know God. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are his sheep. And you know him. You know him in the pardon of your sins. This is why Jesus came. Amen. Now, if we look at verse 25, it lets us know. And I'm just giving y'all an outline on what it says. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. Come on. And I know them, and they follow me. Do you see what God is doing? And watch this. In verse 28, they know him, so watch this. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's great. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Now, we said that on this part, I am the good shepherd, that my people want for nothing. Uh-oh. They don't want for nothing? What do you mean we don't want for nothing? He's that good that when we're his sheep, we want for nothing. Let's go to Psalms 23. We want for nothing. We want for nothing. When you are in good standings with God and he is leading you, you want for nothing. All right, let's read it. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Come on now. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for what? His name's sake. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus, you can get your healing. It says it right there in verse number 3. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Namesake. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Come on now. Now, we want for nothing. He's a good shepherd that we want for nothing. In verse number 1 of Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. The Lord is showing us something now. The Lord is showing us something. Now, watch this. He made me to lie down in Psalms 23 of verse number 2 in verse number 2. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That means when storms are raging in your life, you still got peace because he leads you beside the still waters. Yes, things might be going on in your life. Yes, things, but you got so much peace that it seems calm. It seems calm to you, but it seems like an explosion to everybody else on the outside looking in. How can you have so much peace and you got so much turmoil going on? Because he's leading you beside the still waters. You got waves blowing, but from me looking through the eyes of God, it looks peaceful. When you go through a storm looking through the eyes and the mind of Christ, the storm does not. Whew. Winds may blow. Breakers may dash. But I shall not say but he holds me fast. But I shall not sway because he holds me fast. My soul, there's an old song that says, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I heard a message a couple years ago. A bishop preached a message one time, and it was entitled, Anchor Down. Anchor Down. Which means get in a place where you can trust God in the midst of your storm. Because the songwriter said, trouble don't last always. The word of God says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. That's why I'm being led. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If I'm going in the path of righteousness, I have nothing to be fearful over. In verse number 4, It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because I'm walking in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to me. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to you. He ain't gonna let nothing happen to anybody that's following him the way they should. Why? Because he said, I am God. I got you. But Brother Adam, what about the bills? What about if I have no food in my refrigerator? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. What if I need this? What if I need that? What if I need? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 30. Wherefore, and it reads, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, that's why I said he knows how to be there for his creation. If he clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31 says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32, I love this verse. For after all these things do the Galileans seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. See, this is why he came. See, that's why we said earlier, the Jews and the children of Israel were looking for a Savior to free them out of natural bondage. But he said in this verse right here that he knows that we have need of all things. He was looking more on the spiritual side of it than the natural side, because just like we said earlier, you will prosper as your soul prosper. As soon as your soul starts prospering, you're going to start prospering naturally. Them blessings is going to start rolling in naturally. More than it would be if your soul wasn't prospering naturally. If your soul wasn't prospering spiritually, Father, excuse me, you'll get more blessings if your soul is prospering than if it wasn't prospering. Amen? But ye have need of all things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He knows what you have need of. That's why he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm good as good can be. I'm better than all of that stuff that you think makes you. I'm better than that. The Bible lets us know that, oh, taste and see. Come on here. I'm good. I'm good. I'm better than all that stuff that out there in the world. I'm better than that. Which makes, and if you get in him, you'll be better than that. He's good. That's why he said, I'm the good shepherd. Campbell's did a commercial back in the day. It said, good. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Come on. Come on. Don't y'all see what the Lord is doing? Now watch this. I am the giver of natural and spiritual life. Natural and spiritual life. You might say, well, we know that God created the heavens and the earth and all of this. He ain't just the giver of natural life, but he's the giver of spiritual life too. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, real quick, just to see that God is the giver. I am the giver of natural and spiritual life. Amen. I'm the giver. He said, I am the giver. of natural and spiritual life. This is what he gave in the natural. This is what he gave us life in the natural. The natural life. The blood, the breath of life. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter number 2. In verse number 7. Real quick. We're going to go here real quick. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that's the natural life. He's the giver of natural, he's the giver of natural and spiritual life. Natural life was given right here in verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. He breathed the breath of life. We're breathing his breath. We're breathing his breath. Amen. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. This is the spiritual life right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The creator of spiritual life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Once you come unto him, once you have repented of your sins and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that's why we got to take on the name. That's why we got to take on the name in baptism. And I've quoted this verse a lot. Colossians 3 and 17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Right? We gotta repent in the name of Jesus. We gotta be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. We gotta receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is gonna come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he's a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless. He's a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless. Amen. He's a healer. We know of several scriptures where Jesus healed, Jesus healing the blind man. I am a healer. I am a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. When your mother and father forsake thee, then he will take you up. Amen? Which means he'll be your father. He'll be your mother. Amen? In Psalms 27, verse number 10, it talks about him being a father. Amen? In Psalms 68, verse number 5, it talks about him being a father to the fatherless. Amen. In Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 16, it talks about Jesus being the healer, where he raised a dead man up out of his death. Man was dead. But Jesus raised that young man up. Amen. I am the Savior from sin. Now, as I said earlier, Jesus is the reason why. Come on. Jesus is the reason why we have been set free. He went to the cross. I said we got... In Colossians 3 and 17, we quoted that scripture. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, and the reason why, said God, we talked about it earlier, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that these are titles. These are titles. And the reason why, and the Lord wanted me to go here, the reason why the where people get this the Trinity from is from Matthew 28:19. They twisted the scripture. They twisted that. And a lot of some people get that scripture out of context. It is not a form, it is not a form of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's not that. It is not a form of baptism either. There is only one baptism. You might say, well, didn't John baptize? Yes. But also John declared also that there is one that come after me. John talked about the Holy Ghost. There's one that come after me, and he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. He is referring to, the baptism that he is referring to is the fire is Jesus. The fire is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. How do we know that the Holy Ghost is Jesus? In John chapter 14, verse 26, and he said, "And the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." Amen? Now, when did he send it? When did he send it? On the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost is when he sent the Holy Ghost. We all know the story. We all read it. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, verse 26, it talks about him sending the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Amen. Where do we get, what is this talking about? It's talking about Acts 2 and 38. It's referring to Acts 2 and 38. It's referring to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Acts 2 and 38 and 39. That's what it's talking about. Because you can't get the power without going through the name. You can't. You ain't going to be able to get it. There's no other way. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There isn't. And if you do not have his spirit, you're none of his. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And I know some people say, well, Brother Adam, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. Uh-uh. There's more to that. You got to repent. Well, isn't confession of the mouth, isn't that repentance? The form of it, yes. Well, then I'm saved. No. You got to have the Holy Ghost dwelling on, you got to have the Holy Ghost given to you on the, given to you and put in you from the outside, inside. He's going to, as he did on the day of Pentecost, it's not just once I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm saved. No, you can't confess something until you act upon what you believe. You can't confess something that you don't have. And the Holy Ghost is what we need. And when we get the Holy Ghost, then we can confess. We can confess. Matter of fact, I'm about to go there real quick because I want to get this right. I'm going to go to the book of Romans real quick. I'm going to go to the book of Romans, and then I'm going to show you why. Romans chapter 10, I believe it's Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say you were saved. He said you shall be, which means future tense. But you can't confess something that you don't have. How do we know this? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 lets us know. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, the removal of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, as they did on the day of Pentecost. How do you know that you have the Holy Ghost? You have it once you'll know that you have it. When you speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And this is not something that you learn. As well as they did it on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, you'll do the same thing now. God does not change. He does not change. Now, how would I know that I can be a witness? How do I know I can confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus? Because you'll be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Let's see. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's see what this says there. Power to do what? Let's see. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That is, you confess that Jesus saved you. You can confess that Jesus filled you with the Holy Ghost. You can confess it because you heard yourself speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. That's how I know that I got the Holy Ghost. It's just like a newborn baby being born. A newborn baby being born, that doctor waits on that baby's what? Cry. To let them know that that baby has life. Once you speak in tongues, that lets you know that you have life in him. And you'll be able to walk in the newness of life. Amen. That is your spiritual cry. Amen. So, and also, as it's stated in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and I'm going to read that to you because I want you to see this. If you don't, the Bible speaks of it. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, and this is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Which means if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. You can know about, there's a whole lot of people that say, I know Jesus. No, you know about Jesus. But you, until you know him in the pardon of your sins, you really don't know him. And you're not ready to go. Amen? You got to have his Spirit on the inside of you to be taken out of here. How do we know this? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Amen? I am the Savior from sin. And then he lets us know, I am everything you need. And I'm coming back. Amen. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, it lets us know that. John chapter 14, verse 3, lets us know that. Amen. He's coming back. In John chapter 14, verse number 3, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, come on, there you may be also. There you go. Now, my last scripture, like I said, you have to have the Holy Ghost to be able to take it, to be taken out of here. You have to have the Spirit. Well, how do we know this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, for the Lord himself, come on. I'm going to add in verse 15. I'm going to start at verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, which means the dead, in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's because they have his Spirit. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The people that have not died, should the rapture take place today, and you are listening to the sound of my voice, if you have the Holy Ghost, you'll be taken out of here. As long as you live right. As long as you're living right. And you got the Holy Ghost. Heaven is not for a morally good individual. You can't be morally good to get into heaven. You got to be God good. Morally good is not good enough. Well, I don't curse. I don't drink. I don't do this. Okay, that's fine. You're morally good. That's great. But come on and receive his Spirit and get God good. Amen. I pray that the Lord gave us all something out of this. I pray that the Lord gave us all something out of this. And I'm here to tell you, I am going to be, I'm happy today. In my last couple minutes that I have right now, I'm going to say this. I pray that everybody has a good holiday season, New Year's, because Minister Tuggle is going on vacation we will not be here until the start of the new year. So on behalf of the Spirit Live Network, on behalf of the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Live Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio, I say unto each and everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, God bless you, I love you, and I will see you not next week, but I will see you next year. Amen. It will be 2024. And should the Lord say the same, I will see you again. But if you don't hear my voice again, then I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. And until next year, 2024, God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. I love you all so very, very much. Have a good holiday season. Have a good New Year's. I pray that God's blessings shine upon you. Go this Sunday and give God the praise. And on this new year, bring in the new year with the praise. And be careful. Be careful out there. Be careful out there, because I know that the new year, this is a side note, New Year's, I know people like to act crazy on New Year's, but just be alert. Be wise when you're out there, in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name.